Hello and welcome into another episode of Locked on Wolves. Today on the show, I want to talk a little bit about Rudy Gobert's fit within the Timberwolves offense, plus on the Bryn Forbes signing, what that does to the Timberwolves' backcourt depth, and then ultimately, what potential remaining targets are available for additional frontcourt depth for the Wolves going into the season. It's a packed show today. Welcome in. You are Locked on Wolves.
You are Locked on Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hopefully you had a fantastic 4th of July. Thank you for making Locked On Wolves your first listen every day. Of course, this show is free and available everywhere, including YouTube, as well as all of your favorite audio platforms. You can also follow on Twitter at Locked On T Wolves and at B Beacon. And that's with two B's, two E's, C K E N. Today on the show, I want to dig a little bit into the Rudy Gobert impact on the Timberwolves defense. Offense. We talked defense on Monday. Spent the entire show really breaking down what the Timberwolves might do defensively with Rudy Gobert in the fold. And I don't want to spend quite as much time on the offense because I think, I don't think it's quite as complicated as maybe some are making it out to be. So I want to spend a little bit of time on that. Maybe we do a deeper dive later this offseason. We've got plenty of time to do that, but I think it's important to address that since we talked defense yesterday. And also I realized I haven't talked about the Bryn Forbes signing really on this podcast because it happened over the weekend and there was so much Gobert stuff to talk about. So I want to talk about the Bryn Forbes signing and the impact on the depth chart. And then overall some additional targets we'll get into here in a minute. So let's start with the offense and Rudy Gobert. The defense, if you're wondering about that, I spent the entire show on Monday talking about it, breaking down exactly the different coverages the Wolves could play, juxtaposing that with what the Jazz did and what didn't work for them in the playoffs. In terms of offense, again, I don't think it's all that complicated. I think Rudy Gobert can play multiple roles in the Wolves offense. Number one, he could play the Jared Vanderbilt role if that's what the Wolves want to do. He could play in the dunker spot, essentially, or we could call it the Josh Okogie role. Any non-shooter that the Wolves have had in their rotation over the past several seasons, he could just kind of hang out in the dunker spot. And I get that you're paying him however many $40+ million a year is he going to be making in the next couple of years, eventually $50+ million. However, if you're a top three defensive player, I know that's a lot of money, and it's not completely true that anything he gives you offensively is gravy because you're paying him that much money. He has to be able to play on half the court, right? But you also have Carl Anthony Towns and Anthony Edwards. So the Wolves are not asking Rudy Gobert to play a high usage role within their offense. He's going to spend a chunk of the time in the dunker spot. But the thing is, Rudy Gobert in the dunker spot is a much greater threat than insert past big man for the Wolves here, Jared Vanderbilt, Taj Gibson, Gorgie Jang. He's better. He's going to have a more impactful presence in the dunker spot than Jared Vanderbilt did over the past couple of seasons. He just will, or Josh Okogie for that matter, when he played the four, or even when he didn't play the four and the Wolves treated him as a center offensively, early on last season, especially. So he will be a super version of, I remember this was a top 10 offense last year. The Wolves were, I believe, the top offense in the entire league in offensive efficiency after January 1st with Jared Vanderbilt starting and giving you practically nothing offensively. Rudy Gobert is going to be a more impactful offensive presence than Jared Vanderbilt. So I don't want to I don't want to get too worried about what this thing's going to look like from an offensive standpoint when it comes to Gobert's fit, if he ends up playing more of the Vanderbilt type role. The other thing is Gobert's a pretty good pick and roll big. The Rudy Gobert pick and roll in Denver it was successful to a point, right? And Gobert obviously has one of the best field goal percentages in recent memory because he just doesn't really miss once he gets around the rim. His hands aren't fantastic, but again, better than Jared Vanderbilt's. He's a better screener than Jared Vanderbilt. And a D'Angelo Russell, Rudy Gobert pick and roll is going to be effective. I mean, D'Angelo Russell is a good pick and roll ball handler. He can score at all three levels, even if he prefers not to drive as much. And Gobert is a true roller. Karl-Anthony Towns doesn't roll that often when he sets screens. He often pops or fades. It doesn't often actually hard roll to the basket, whereas Gobert will just immediately hard roll to the basket, and Russell can hit him with a pocket pass. He can hit him with a lob. You know, he can, you know, kind of slow play to the strong side of the floor. Russell can take the ball to one side, and Gobert can kind of hold the defense back, so D'Lo gets a little more space to drive. There's just a lot more that can be done with Gobert because of his size and his screening ability than anybody besides Karl-Anthony Towns in the Timberwolves on the Timberwolves roster from last year. Now, Naz Reid was a good pick and roll partner for D'Angelo Russell, mostly because Reed was far more willing to roll to the basket than Towns ever has been. And he still had the ability to step out and shoot threes. Now, Gobert is not going to do that, obviously. But it gives the element to the Wolves offense of there's somebody who's a true lob threat and just a massive body that you have to account for if he's setting screens. And of course, Karl-Anthony Towns can spot up and space out on the perimeter. The Wolves are going to need that in terms of spacing to allow a Russell Gobert pick and roll room to operate. And Towns is going to be the best stretch four in the league as just somebody who could stand. And the gravity of Towns spotting up is effectively the same as, I mean, it should be the same as any other 40% three-point shooter spotting up. If it's not, he'll just hit open threes all day and catch and shoot situations. If it is, then you're going to have a ton more space for the Russell Gobert pick and roll. Now, Jaden McDaniels isn't quite the spot up threat, but nobody's going to leave Anthony Edwards because if they get too far off of him, he pump fakes and blows by you if you hard close out. You know, McDaniels is going to have to step up in terms of spot up shooting to give some space for a Russell Gobert pick and roll, and just in general for the Wolves half court offense. But a Russell Gobert pick and roll could be very effective, and Karl-Anthony Towns can play that spot up role. And also, he could spot up and cut. I mean, Towns hasn't had the opportunity to cut all that much because he's so often the focal point of the offense, or the Wolves are running other actions where he's not, that's not his role. I think Towns can be an effective cutter, especially with some smaller fours guarding him, or even if he ends up with some lumbering, I mean, he shouldn't end up with lumbering fives if Gobert's on the floor, but I think Towns' versatility offensively is a huge part of this, and it's why the Wolves think this can work really well. And I mentioned this a second ago, kind of in passing, related to the quote-unquote Vanderbilt role that Gobert could play. The Timberwolves have been doing this for years with non-shooting bigs next to Karl-Anthony Towns. It's just that Towns has functionally, Towns has literally been playing the five in name, and the other player has played the four, but functionally has been a five for all intents and purposes offensively. I mean, you go back to Gorgui Dieng before Gorgui added a consistent three-point shot. Yes, he could shoot outside the paint. He always had a mid-range jumper of sorts. However, it wasn't a huge part of his game early in his career. And even when he played next to Towns as a starter for that entire season, the first Tibbs year before Taj Gibson came on board, that wasn't, it was still effectively a non-shooter. Taj Gibson's another example. Offensively, yeah, he had a little bit of a mid-range jumper. He posted up a couple possessions a game, but he was mostly a non-factor offensively. I guess he did have his best scoring season of his career with the Wolves, but it's still what, like, he wasn't a high-usage guy at any point, and he wasn't shooting threes. Jared Vanderbilt, same idea, right? These guys have all been non-shooters, and the Wolves have had mostly good offenses with them on the floor throughout the years. I mean, when Taj was in the starting lineup, Gorgui was coming off the bench, and I guess he was playing more backup center than four at that point. But the point stands that from Gorgui to Taj to Vando, with some exceptions in there for obviously Juancho and Dario Saric for a brief period of time, and others, Nemanja Bjelica, they have had guys who can stretch the floor, but they've also had plenty of guys who don't. And Naz Reid's still on this roster. He very likely could have a role in the rotation, and obviously foul trouble could be an issue for Gobert and Towns at times. And then you've got a bunch of guys that are threes that can play. I mean, Kyle Anderson is really more of a four than a three, but he could play the three or the four. He doesn't really stretch the floor, but he at least has that in his game, right? He's a pretty, a slightly below average league average three-point shooter, but he can do it. Torian Prince can obviously shoot the three. So you've got some other guys you can mix in there depending on lineups and rotations that can stretch the floor. So this isn't completely foreign to the Timberwolves as a concept, or I should say really to pairing with Karl-Anthony Towns. Okay, I want to talk about Bryn Forbes next, and I want to talk about the backcourt depth, where that stands here today. And then we'll talk about possible remaining targets for the front court in terms of depth there as well. First, though, let's talk about our friends over at Arcade 1UP. Boom shakalaka. We have big news. The one, the only NBA Jam is back. Arcade 1UP, the leader in at-home retro arcade games, is not only bringing the best game ever back, but they made it bigger than ever with a, wait for it, a Shaq Edition machine. People are obsessed with NBA Jam, and I'm thrilled to tell our listeners that you can once again play hoops with NBA Legends in this arcade classic. Jump clear across the court and set the ball on fire in one of the first sports games ever to feature real and digitized NBA licensed teams. No fouls, no free throws, and no quarters required. Compete with friends and family through all new Wi-Fi leaderboards, making you more connected than ever. Pre-order now from arcade1up.com. That's arcade, the number one, up.com for an estimated early September ship date. Arcade 1UP is the place for fun. They've got more classics like Golden Tee, Mortal Kombat, and many others starting at just $3.99. And check this out. They are giving away an NBA Jam Shaq edition to a Locked On listener. Enter for a chance to win a game console for your man cave at arcade1up.com/lockedon. That's arcade, the number one, up.com/lockedon. You've got till July 8th. That's this Friday, just a couple of days, to enter to win NBA Jam Shaq Edition console. Don't miss out. Enter today. All right, so one of the smaller headlines from the weekend, this was, I believe, still late Friday, the Timberwolves agreed to sign Bryn Forbes to their roster, it was after I did my second show on Friday. We did two shows on Friday, and it was Friday, so it wasn't front of mind on Monday when I was still talking plenty of Rudy Gobert, and rightfully so. But let's talk about Bryn Forbes and what he could potentially bring to the team. I do think he's primarily a depth piece for the Wolves. I mean, that's going to be what he brings to the table, right? First and foremost, though, he's a phenomenal shooter. He's a career 41% three-point shooter, I should say. He's a 6'2 shooting guard, a little bit of a combo guard. He can run some point, but he's primarily an undersized two. Something of an instant offense type guy in terms of just spot-up shooting. A huge chunk of his shot attempts are threes, 56% for his career in terms of three-point rate. So 56% of his shot attempts for his career have been three-pointers. I will say it dipped a little bit last year, but prior to that, the season prior, he spent a year in Milwaukee in 2020-2021 and was a big part of their bench in the playoffs as they won the title. And he shot 65% of his shot attempts were threes. The year prior to that in San Antonio, 65%+. So, you know, there was a couple years, there were 2/3 of his shot attempts were threes, and that's going to be his role in the Timberwolves offense. They've got guys that could do other stuff already at that position. Obviously, Anthony Edwards, Jalen Noel is a bucket at all three levels. So Bryn Forbes is going to be a spot up 3-point shooter for the Wolves, and he's really effective at it. Again, over 40% shooting in three of the last four seasons, and for his career, 41.3% from beyond the arc. That's going to be his primary role with the Wolves, and he can play a little point guard again if needed in a pinch, but he's primarily going to be the a depth piece at the two. It will be interesting to see. At the moment, sitting here right now, the only point guards on the Timberwolves roster are D'Angelo Russell and Jordan McLaughlin, and there isn't a third point guard. McKinley Wright is still a free agent, but he's playing elsewhere, I think for Phoenix in summer league. He very likely is not returning to the Wolves. So who's going to be the third string point guard? Are the Wolves going to sign another piece for the backcourt? It's possible that they will. But at the moment, both Jalen Noel and Bryn Forbes are kind of your third string ones, right? They're your third string point guards. And it also shows the Timberwolves' faith in Jordan McLaughlin. Now, if you weren't sure about that, we saw that Chris Finch has faith in Jordan McLaughlin when he played crunch time minutes in an elimination game last year. D'Angelo Russell was on the bench. Jordan McLaughlin was in the game. So I think that's interesting. Also, Forbes and Noel each can give you something completely different from one another and different from McLaughlin and D'Angelo Russell. They're all four very different players. You know, D'Lo being more of a shoot first, shoot and transition, very talented passer, less of a good defensive player. McLaughlin's a little better defensively, but he's undersized, more of a straw that serves the drink guy on offense. Bryn Forbes is just a straight up catch and shoot 3-point shooter, but can initiate an offense. And Jalen Noel scores at all three levels, more similar to D'Lo. I think I said last year, my best comp for Jalen Noel, if you haven't watched a ton of him, if you're new to this show, is I feel like he's really a mix between D'Angelo Russell and Anthony Edwards with the way that he plays, more so than he's going to be in the Malik Beasley role this year, and that he's essentially going to be your bench scorer. But he plays more like a cross between Ant and D'Angelo Russell than he does Malik Beasley. He's much more He's a better passer than Beasley. He could put the ball on the floor and score. He can spot up shoot. But that's why I say he's an interesting mix between Ant and D'Lo. That's a conversation for another day. But if you look at the Timberwolves' backcourt depth now, it suddenly has a very different feel to it, right? No Beasley, no Patrick Beverley. And just looking at the depth chart, it's D'Angelo Russell, Jordan McLaughlin at point. And then you've got Anthony Edwards, Jalen Noel, and Bryn Forbes at the two. Josh Minot's out there as well. But between those five guys, that's going to be the bulk of your backcourt minutes. And the rotation now, we'll talk about this here in just a minute, but, or I should say the roster, the depth chart goes 11 deep. I mean, you can make the argument Bryn Forbes is actually number 11 on that depth chart. I can't imagine he slots ahead of Jalen Noel from day one. It's not like Noel's a rookie, so you're not going to put the veteran NBA champ ahead of him in the rotation. Noel has experience, and he was very good last year. He is your backup too, and probably your third string point guard as well. So the backcourt is those four guys. D'Angelo Russell's your starter. Jordan McLaughlin gets, 15, 16 minutes off the bench behind him. Anthony Edwards starts at the two now, slides down from the three with Jalen Noel and Bryn Forbes behind him. Obviously, if you want to play a massive lineup, you could put Taurean Prince at the two. Josh Minot would also be, or Wendell Moore, I guess, both of those rookies would be options at the two as well, although they're going to be primarily threes, and in Minot's case, functionally a four on offense if he ever gets into a game. But in terms of backcourt depth, this team looks very different than it did just a couple of weeks ago, even just a week ago, honestly. I guess it was Friday that all this stuff happened. As crazy as that seems, I can't believe it was only 5 days ago. It feels like we've been talking about this now for a week to 2 weeks. But look for the Wolves to consider adding one more ball handler just to have the depth on the roster. And perhaps it comes with a two-way deal. I mean, it's possible Josh Minot gets one of the two ways. We don't know. But don't be surprised if they add another point as a two-way contract guy that pretty much always, since the two-way contracts were introduced several years ago, the Wolves have had a point guard in one of those slots. It's just nice to have another ball handler you can call in a pinch. Now, McKinley Wright was never needed as a rotation guy last year. I think he was on the roster as like an emergency. I think he might have played one game as backup rotation minutes, and it was just a couple of minutes here and there because the Wolves decided to go with Jalen Noel at the point instead. And that, I mean, I guess given that choice, clearly Noel was a good choice. If you could come up with a better option for a two-way that you're more comfortable with than McKinley Wright last year, then maybe Noel's not pressed into service there. But clearly Chris Finch on some level is comfortable with Jalen Noel running some point guard. In terms of the Timberwolves' overall depth, you start to look at the wing role, wing position, and Jaden McDaniels is going to start at the three. And your backup threes are Taurean Prince. I guess I'd slot him in as your backup three, although Kyle Anderson and Prince are going to be kind of interchangeable at the three and the four. And then again, Minot and Wendell Moore are kind of that third string level. So what I want to close the show with today is I want to talk a little bit about the front court. I want to talk about a couple of potential depth options on the free agency market still for the Wolves at the five, and currently what the four and the five looks like on the roster here as we move into the latter stages of free agency. So we're going to do that here next. First, though, let's talk about our friends over at Built Bar. From the people who invented healthy and tasty comes the latest gift to your taste buds. You've probably tried the amazing coconut brownie chunk Built Bar. If you haven't, you need to. But guess what? Your friends at Built have given Coconut Brownie Chunk the Puffs treatment. That's right. The Coconut Brownie Chunk Built Bar flavor that you love in a delicious, deliciously chewy marshmallow covered in 100% real chocolate. It's like a fluffy cloud of coconut brownie goodness. And if you haven't had one of those, the normal Coconut Brownie Chunk Built Bar is by far the best flavor. It's amazing. And all the flavors are good. But now you can get it in puff form. Stop drooling and listen, though. They're good for you. Low calorie, low sugar, high protein, and they're all delicious. Coconut Brownie Chunk Puffs are only here for a limited time. Go to Built.com now to make sure you don't miss out. They're going fast because they taste amazing. All Built Bars are made with collagen protein, which your body absorbs more efficiently and provides tons of health benefits. Eat something that tastes good and is good for you. The best part about Built Puffs is, of course, that they taste amazing. But again, you can enjoy them guilt-free because they're actually good for you. They're the perfect treat, perfect when you've got a craving, you need to satisfy your sweet tooth, or if you need a quick, healthy snack. They're an excellent source of protein. Delicious coconut, rich, sweet brownie, creamy marshmallow. Stop fantasizing and just get to Built.com to order your box of coconut brownie chunk Built Puffs right now. Again, built.com. And by the way, you can use our promo code. That's locked15 to get 15% off your order. I use it all the time. Again, promo code locked15 to get 15% off your order at built.com. All right, let's round out the Wolves depth chart and talk about a couple of possible depth options for the front court. So again, D'Angelo Russell, Jordan McLaughlin at point, Anthony Edwards, Jalen Noel, Bryn Forbes at the two, the ability to slide into the one, Noel and Forbes kind of in that combo guard role. At the three, Jaden McDaniels is going to start at the three. The Wolves are going to play a massive lineup. Their starting lineup is going to be huge. We talked about this on Monday, but all five members of the starting lineup are 6'4 or taller with a 6'9 or longer wingspan, which is absolutely insane. The collective wingspan of the starting lineup, I contend, would have to be one of the longest, if not the longest, in NBA, recent NBA memory. I don't know how you look that up past a certain point in history, but I don't know. I don't know how many lineups are going to be longer, at least in today's NBA. And then now at the four, you got Karl Anthony Towns starting at the four, Kyle Anderson as the primary backup, and again, Torian Prince mixing in there as well, and Jaden McDaniels, of course, we'll see some minutes at the four. But if you're strictly looking at the depth chart, you'd put Towns number one at the four spot, and Kyle Anderson probably slots in second. And then at center, of course, Rudy Gobert, and then Towns will see minutes at the five, but Naz Reid is the primary backup. So you look at the 10 guys that are for sure on the roster and for sure playing this year: Russell, McLaughlin at point, Edwards and Noel, and Forbes at shooting guard. McDaniels and Prince at the three, Towns and Anderson at the four, Gobert and Naz at the five. That's 11 guys. There's nobody else besides the two rookies, Minot and Moore. So Moore would be the only one with a guaranteed contract. So Moore gives you 12 guys. They need a couple of more to fill out this roster. There is a qualifying offer out to Nate Knight. He is a restricted free agent. I saw a report just this morning that he's still working out at Mayo Clinic Square. I would imagine he's back with the Wolves one way or another. Doubtfully another, it's doubtful that it's another two-way, but it's possible he may get an actual deal from the Wolves. But they still may want to add one more piece because Nate Knight's a little bit undersized, Naz Reid's a little bit undersized, and for as much of the Wolves want to play big, don't be surprised if they find themselves adding another seven-footer. So names that are out there that I've talked about on the show, well, actually everybody that I liked is gone because the Wolves did end up going the Gobert route instead of, I started the offseason by saying, hey, I'd pick up JaVale McGee, would be maybe either him or Bismack Biyombo, or if you pay a little bit more, obviously Mo Bamba got a lot more money than those guys. But do you find a lower cost option that can effectively replicate a portion of what Gobert is going to do? The Wolves went, obviously they went big, literally, in a lot of ways, in terms of pick compensation, overall, you know, trade package and player. And the swing is big, right? It's big in a ton of different ways by adding Gobert. So now do you add another one of those depth type options at the five? And names that I've talked about on the show, again, are largely gone. Names mentioned more recently by Darren Wolfson, by Doogie over at KSDP and Score North. He talked about the Wolves' interest in three different guys, Frank Kaminsky being one of them. He, of course, was with the Suns the last few years and was waived this spring. He had been injured for much of the season, but I believe should be healthy now and is out there. He's not on a lot of free agent lists because he was waived before the offseason even started, but he's available. And I like the Frank Kaminsky fit actually quite a bit. He would add an element of, he's a pretty solid defender. He can protect the rim a little bit and give you some of that. He had a block rate. I guess his career block rate's only 1.5%, but he's a solid defensive player overall. In terms of, he can play drop coverage, be effective enough, be quick enough laterally. He's also, again, a good enough 3-point shooter to stretch the floor. He's just under 35% for his career. So he's not a sharpshooter by any means, but he can stretch the floor and kind of fits that similar to Naz Reid, I think, is what his role would essentially be. But he gives you a little bit more size than Naz. And I think he's a little bit better of a defender overall and also rebounding too. He's a good enough rebounder. He doesn't quite give you as much as you'd love to get from your backup five. But again, we're talking depth piece. Another player I mentioned in passing, but I don't know if he ends up back in Minnesota, but it'd be a lot of fun, is Gorgui Dieng. Of course, Gorgui spent last season with Atlanta, has bounced around just a little bit since leaving the Wolves. Of course, Minnesota traded him two deadlines ago, the part of the the same deadline that the Wolves, of course, acquired D'Lo and made those big trades. He went to Memphis, spent really one full season, the end of that season and the start of the next season in Memphis, was traded to San Antonio at the end of not this last season, but the season before. Spent last year in Atlanta, only played in 44 games, averaged 8 minutes a game, became just really a depth player for the Hawks. And he's 33 now. It would be more of a extreme depth piece for the Wolves, right? If they get into foul trouble, if they go up against size and they need more size and they want to stay big the whole game, and they want to leave some combination, two of Towns, Gobert, and Gorgie in the game at the same time, at all times, if at all possible. Gorgie would be a good fit for that because he can do a few different things. He now can shoot threes. That's just a part of his arsenal. The volume wasn't there because he didn't play that much, but he shot 42% from three last year, 42% the year before that. He's really good in the corners. So there would be some certainly sentimental value to bringing Gorgie Dieng back to Minnesota, and he would surely come on the minimum at this stage in his career. So Gorgie Dieng would be a name I'd keep an eye on for sure. And then the last one would be DeMarcus Cousins, and this is another name mentioned by Darren Wolfson. It's less attractive to me because he's going to want to play more than what the Wolves would be able to give him, barring obviously something unforeseen. God forbid there's an injury early on, but if Boogie's still on the market in the fall and if there's an injury or something like that, he could be an option because of familiarity with both Chris Finch and Tim Connolly in both New Orleans and in Denver. And his ability, I think he'd be a lot of fun to play with Karl-Anthony Towns. I just think if you're bringing him in as a fifth big, which effectively he would be at this point, is there too much baggage? Isn't the right word, but is there too much there with Boogie Cousins, the whole experience of Boogie Cousins to do that at this stage? I think yes. I think the answer is yes. I think Kaminsky and Gorgie are both better options than Boogie for those reasons. But if they needed a piece to play more minutes later in the season and he's still on the market, I like the fit and he's still an effective player. And again, the familiarity with both Finch and Connolly, I think would make some sense. So all that to say, I would keep an eye on Boogie Cousins as a potential depth option down the road. But those are the three guys I would watch. Again, only 11 players or 12 players if you include Wendell Moore under contract. Minot could sign a two-way. Nate Knight could come back. So that could be two of your spots, but then you've still got either at that point one more roster spot plus two two-ways, or you could have one two-way and two roster spots depending on what happens with those contracts to Minot and Knight. But it's going to be fun to see how the Wolves end up filling out this roster. We're going to spend a little more time on that later this week. And then also summer league practices have begun. Summer league camp, the first summer league game is Friday night for the Wolves. So I want to talk about summer league and that roster and players to look out for. The roster shifted a little bit, of course, the last few days. So we'll talk about that later this week too, and keep an eye on the rest of the free agent market as we go through the latter stages of the free agency period. So that's all we have for you today. Thanks again for listening to Locked On Wolves. And thank you to those of you that do make Locked On Wolves your first listen each every day. It's greatly appreciated. You can find this show anywhere, including YouTube. If you watch on YouTube, please subscribe. Please like the video. Greatly appreciated. Comment as well. And if you listen on Apple, please go ahead and leave a review. That definitely helps us out. You can also listen on any other audio platform. And you can follow on Twitter at Lockdown T-Wolves and at BBeacon with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. Of course, the Locked On Wolves podcast is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on all the biggest stories. Thanks again for making us your first listen. And for your second listen, get up to date on the latest news and rumors in the NBA in just 30 minutes every day with Locked On NBA. Yours truly was on the show on Monday with Jackson Gatlin. So go check out Monday's episode. But every day, the hosts of Locked On NBA rotate throughout the week, and they do a great job of covering the league as a whole. Locked On NBA is your daily NBA update in just 30 minutes. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.